Yesterday we were talking about the din of being kaveh makom for the bez din of chalitza, and we saw machlokas we showed him whether or not that was a real inyan of kaveh makom. It's keilu bona and challenges of doing this on Shabbos. And then the other approach was seemed to be the most common approach is that the idea of kaveh makom was lefarse milsa, to publicize what was going on. And we pointed out that the simple reading of the Gemara does not seem to connect Pesumim Milsa to that of Kviyas Makom, but nonetheless Rishonim felt that these two halachas were intertwined. But where it does come up, according to all Rishonim, of Pesumim Milsa is what we're discussing today, the five Dayanim. We already learned there's Machlokas and Amun Aleph between Yehud and Tanakama, whether you need three or five Dayanim for Chalitza. We, of course, passing like the Tanakama that three is sufficient. So Gemara now records a Maisa that Rav Papa, Rav Huna Bredi, Rishua Avdi, Uvda B'chamisha. They did a ma'isa, they did a chalitza, and they used five dayanim, keman, k'Rabbi Yehuda. They paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, which is against how we paskin. And the Gemara says, v'ha hadar, didn't we retract? Didn't we say we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? And the Gemara answers, the presume milsa, simply, the fire saying the milsa, we want to publicize the fact that this woman is a chalitza now. And why do we want to publicize that? What are the reasons? Rashi brings two different reasons why. We want to make it clear that she's a chalitza. Exactly, right. Rashi says, the chalutza hi velo lintabed lekohen. A kohen cannot marry a chalutza. And number two is, delaysi inshi say Allah, that she's available, she's single now, and someone please marry, take care of her. So those two reasons. Interestingly, the Beis Shmuel, I'm not sure if you saw Beis Shmuel yet, but he says there's a nafkamina between these two different opinions. Anyone see the nafkamina?
She's already a grusha.
She had a grusha. So everyone knows she's a grusha. And therefore, she can't marry Cohen as it is. So a chalutz on top of that is not going to change her previous status. So that won't be needed to lefarse milsa if she's a grusha. But the point is to now let everybody know that she's single, she's available. So then even if she's already a grusha, one would have to publicize the fact. So that's Rashi, that's the Gemara. So the Gemara goes on to say now, Rav Ashi ikle the Bei Rav Kahana. Once Rav Ashi was visiting the house of the Beis Medrash of Rav Kahana, Amarle Salak Mar Legaban, come join us, limluye bechamish, in order to be a filler. We need five guys, five dayanim, for the chalitza. So Amar Rav Kahana, Haba Kamina, Kamid Rav Yehuda. He's standing in front of Rav Yehuda. Amar li, ta sak lizirze, dekani let's tufe bechamish. Bring up, you know, a bundle of grain or wheat or something to establish a kviyas makom of chalitza. And then the Gemara says that Amar li, lam li chamish, why do you need five guys? We want to make it a bigger event. We want to make it a public event. So five will change that. You know, parenthetically, there's an interesting discussion in the Gilyonei Hashas of Yosef Engel. He talks about where does five come from in terms of Pirsumi Nisa? Ten. And Pirsumi Milsa, ten is a Pirsumi Milsa, not five. So he quotes a whole list of sources of three, five, ten. Where do you see different levels of Pirsum, depending on the mitzvah? Either way, he explained, the point of five is the Farsim HaMilsa. Rav Shmuel, Bar Yehuda, Havikai Kamei Dav Yehuda, he's standing there as well. Amar Lei, Sak Tal Izirzei Tekani Litzufei Bechamisha, Lifersumei Miso, you two, bring a, you know, a bundle of something to help be Koveh Makom Nechalitza. You join us to be number five. So then he said, Amar Lei, no, that I can't do. Tanina, Be Yisrael, Be Bezdin Yisrael, V'lo bebezdin shalgerim. The pasuk uses the word bi Yisrael. Remember, you asked the question. It says lahakim la'achiv shem bi Yisrael. He asked the question. Bi Yisrael is referring to the legacy of the deceased, not about the quality, not about the yichas of the dayanim. Nonetheless, they make there's a drasha. Bi Yisrael means in the presence of a bezdin Yisrael. And since Rav Yehuda was a ger, lo bebezdin shalgerim, v'ana gerana, and therefore I'm pasuk. So we see that there's a need for five, the farsim milsa, but there's also a certain level of requirement, who's allowed, who's not. So a ger is possible, that's clear from the Gemara. So how much beyond the ger is possible? So what's the, could it be any five people? Certainly there's some level of what's required of the two additional people. So let's go through the Rishonim. So the Rambam tells us already in Hilchos Yibum, Perek Dalet, he says that mitzvasa b'chamisha k'day l'farsem hadavar, and so that's clear from the Gemara. V'osan ha'ashay shnayim, those two additional people, afilu hayu ame ha'aretz. Even if they are Am Ha'aretz, says the Rambam, they too actually can serve as part of the additional two. They could serve to fill in the total five that we're looking for. That's the Rambam Shita. So before we get to the Ritva, yeah. So we'll go through that in just a moment, what that means, but let's just ignore the Ritva just for a moment. We saw the Ritva, but we'll come back to the Ritva at the end. So exactly, what does the Rambam mean? Afilu hayu am ha'aretz. So what's a couple of pshatim you could say, forgetting the Ritva, just to take it at face value. So what were you saying? That's
meaning like, we learned from this something via Yoto, anyway, doesn't that kind of categorize am ha'aretz?
And therefore he's saying, even the Dayanim themselves could be am ha'aretz. So what's he adding on? What's a chiddush? So if the three could be am ha'aretz, hediyotah, so certainly the additional two could be am ha'aretz.
Yeah.
Excellent. So now, are you saying, fine, so that's great. So they even not what hediyotahs, we had some level of threshold to become a hediyot. That meant to be able to read. We're suggesting, no, maybe they're mamish illiterate. And that's what means am ha'aretz, which is a very understandable definition. Now, in that world, would you say that that type of am ha'aretz would be called a pasul dayan? Would he be called a pasul dayan? Hey, let's take it this way. When he says am ha'aretz, does he say am ha'aretz and in addition to that, any other psul would be acceptable? Or no, these are Am Ha'aretz that are kosher people, they just happen not to know how to read. So let me explain. The Or Zarua writes, the Or Zarua writes as follows. He says there is no criteria necessary. No criteria necessary at all to be the number two, the two, number four and five. The two extra have no criteria. Any one puzzle is allowed to be the extra two. So the Gemara disqualifies a ger. So I didn't see the Or Zarua in its entirety, but if it's really true that Or Zarua says any guy could be number four and five, so how come the ger is pasul then? Right, even psulim, the Or Zarua says, even when the Rambam says, afila am ha'aretz, that means anybody could be the number four, number five. They're just fillers. They're just to make a piercing. So if anybody could be the four and five guys, so why does the Gemara say a ger is pasul? There's a custom. The pasuk says, be Yisrael. So even though the whole concept of the Farsim Mil says a din derabanan, as we'll see in just a moment, in the end of the day, they do. They say there's a cause of be Yisrael, so they exclude ger. But that's the only psul that's excluded. Other than that, anyone's allowed to. So afila ame aretz means anybody can be number four, number five. That's the first understanding of the Rambam. According to this pshat, even Sumim, even Krovim, the Or Zarua has no criteria necessary. Across the board, it would be acceptable. Yeah, so that's certainly a part of this concern. That's what the Lecha Mishnah says. Lecha Mishnah says the whole idea as to why you need to have some level of kashus to the additional two dayanim. It just says lo nisbarer mihem hadayanim mihem hanosafim. I don't know who's the three, who the two extra ones are. Lachein tzarach shlo yeger. It can't be a ger because we don't know. That is certainly part of the concern. The question: how far does that concern go? And that idea from the Lecha Mishnah is reiterated by, or really, it's Avram Minahar came before Lecha Mishnah, but he says, L'chadchila, lashlei l'meisa b'hadei dayanim, you should not place a ger as number four, number five. Demand the chazeh, the one who sees, savar sheger kasher, l'mnosi ma'sholshah. He'll think he's maybe one of the three dayanim. So this is the whole reason, how far do we have to be concerned with the additional two dayanim. But the first shot here is for the Or Zarua. When the Rambam says afilu am ha'aretz, it means that any psul, a suma, a karov, they could all be stand-ins as number four, number five, with the one exception is the ger. The ger could be Yisro, the ger can't sit, but anybody else is allowed to.
The reason behind the ger is, like we said, the ger's cousin of Yisro, we also have a ger's cousin of Suman of the Enoch, huh?
It's a very, very good point. Very good point. I'm not sure how to answer that. Very good. Excellent. Yeah. So now, the flip side would be that when the Rambam says, afilu am ha'aretz, maybe he means am ha'aretz that are actually kosher. So I don't know if you had a chance to see the Truma Sadeshin. Let me explain. Truma Sadeshin, he raised this question. This is at the end, number 10, in Simen Reish Chavav. He wanted to know whether these Shnaim HaMosifin, these two extra, these stand-ins, whether there's a kpeda of them being Karov or Puzzle, or no, they could be anyone you want. And the Truma Sadeshin says, granted, I understand the whole reason is because people are going to confuse the two and the other three. And he understands that there's a Ruah who said there's no kpeda at all. They could be whatever they want, and Psul, it could be a Summa, it could be a Karov. But there is a Hagos Maimonios which writes that Tzarech Ledaktik Bani Chamisha Shukshein Ladin, that all five have to be Kasher. And the Truma Sadeshin, he embraces that. He thinks that's the correct halacha. And but how come the Rambam chooses Am HaAretz then? If really all five must be kosher, so what does Rambam mean when he says Afil Am HaAretz? That sounds, even if they're pasul, they're acceptable. So if you want to look inside the Truma Sadeshin, it's the last three lines of the Truma Sadeshin. He writes, V'hod the kosher Rambam, the smag, that the Shnaim HaNosafim Afilu Imhem Am HaAretz M'ksherim, Einam Rotzo Lomar Am HaAretz Ki Hai Shem Psum Le'edus. Right, we could define Am HaAretz in different ways. You know, sometimes, you know, there's a Gemara, the Gemara that says in a few places, it comes up in the Gemara Brachos, that what's the definition of Am HaAretz? So the Am HaAretz, one position is, I think it's Shita's Rabbi Meir, that the Am HaAretz could be versed in Kol Torah Kula, Tosh B'Chsav, Tosh Ba'al Peh, and if he wasn't Meshamish Talmid Chacham, he's an Am HaAretz. So that could be one definition of an Am HaAretz. I remember once that I was on the flight, my wife and I went to Eretz Yisrael a few years ago, and Rav Mordechai Willig was on the flight with us, and it was terrible, a snowstorm coming in, and I had rented a car, and I offered him a ride, and he refused to take a ride with me. He said he's not shriach me to take him where he's going, he'll get a cab. And I said to him, I invoked the Gemara in Brachos, I said, listen, I spoke in a Kavadig way, but I said, the Gemara haunted me for many, many reasons. Am HaAretz. So, in terms of learning Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaalpeh, okay, fine, I have a lot to do in that. But at least to be Meshamish Talmid Chacham, that much I have an opportunity to do, at least let me have that opportunity. So he agreed, and I was able to take him in the car, which was very nice. He was there for a bar mitzvah of a grandson. So he was very cute because they had put together a CD. They sing, the Willigs have good voices, and they write songs. So they had a CD they put out for the bar mitzvah, so he put it on the CD in the car on the way up. But he also wouldn't let my wife sit in the back. So he sat in the back. My wife sat in the front. It was extremely uncomfortable. He just like jumped in the back of the car. And so the whole time he was like, saying, oh, that's me. That's Rafal. That's Yehuda. That's Simcha. So it was a very, very cute ride. So either way, so you could be Am HaAretz, who's really a massive Talmid Chacham, but if he wasn't Meshamish Talmid Chacham, then he's an Am HaAretz. But Am HaAretz could also be Mamish Am HaAretz. No, it's nothing. It could be the opposite end. It could be illiterate and Zehu. So the Truma Sadeshin says, when we talk about an Am HaAretz in this context, he says, Einan Rotolomar Am HaAretz Ki Hai Shein Psul Le'edus. Not those that are listed in the Gemaras that Am HaAretz is Pasul Le'edus. Not those type. And he goes on to say on the next page, rather Ella Rotolomar Afilu hein am haaretz klomar sheino yodim lihikaros klom. You're saying that they didn't know how to read, that they're illiterate. That's what it means am haaretz. Aval mikol makom einim chashudim mishum aveira. We're not talking about a gazlan. You can have a very simple person who just doesn't know how to read. He's not an apostle to aid this per se. He's not a robber. He's not a gazlan. He's not a balaveira. He just doesn't know how to read. So he's still called an am haaretz, but he's kasher. So the Truma Sadeshin says, of course you need a kasher dayan. The numbers 4 and 5, the extra two, the shnayim hanosafim have to be kasher le'edus, kasher le'dayan. No question about it. But Am HaAretz means they don't have to be literate. They're not reading. They're not going to be reading the psukim. They don't have to be involved in that at all. So that's what the Truma Sadeshin explains. So then he says further, one second. So then he says, there was one line I wanted here. So then he says, if that's the case, im tomar, iba inen bani shnaim shuk shein ladin, they have to be kasher to be dayanim. Im kain, lama tzrichen liyos nimshachen minashlosha. So he does agree that had you read just this part of the Truma Sadeshin, you would have thought they have to be every single quality of the other Dayanim, except they don't have to read, which really doesn't mean much of a difference. But they get lumped together. But there's a din that we have the two extras sit separate from the other three. So there's a recognition of who the three and who the other two. So he says, now if you're telling me that they have to be kosher, so who cares if they sit together, all five of them should sit together, because all five are really kosher. But even though you just said they don't have to really read, so he says, we still have to make a heker. Even though I say the two extras need to be somewhat close to the other three in terms of their status, they have to be kosher l'dayanus. They can't be pasul eidus, they can't be pasul l'dayanus. In the end of the day, we still want there to be a heker between the three and the other two. So that's the other extreme. Before we get to the ritva, you had a question, just let me lay it out there for you. We had, when the Rambam says afila am ha'aretz, means even psulim could be, the extra two could be anything, anyone. Or you have the Trishadesh, and that they have to be kosher, even though they don't know how to read, but they have to still be kosher edim, kosher dayan.
If we hold like the opinion that three dayanim is what you need, the other two are just there for the piercing, and especially if we hold that they're going to be sitting differently, meaning there's a huge not community between the three and the two, and why would the other two need to fit any criteria of the same?
Well, that's what we've been saying, that they all, you know, it was said in the Lecha Mishnah, it says it in Rabbeinu Avraham ben Har, the Trishadesh repeats it, because there's still going to be some concern of maybe they actually are the Dayanim. Now, we're doing the best we can to, you know, we're having a balance here of the perception should be that, you know, they are not Dayanim, but people might get confused. Like, when I went to witness a Chalitza, I didn't know this din. So I don't know if there are extra two people on the stage. I have no idea. I can't remember what I had seen at that point. It goes back 15 years ago, probably. But I don't know if there were three dayanim and maybe another two stand-ins. Maybe I didn't know what was going on. So there's some level of confusion of a person who's ignorant, who sees what's going on. So we need two people that are there, and they're walking a tightrope here to how much there can be a confusion. At the end of the day, the Trishus Hadeshin felt that they have to be kosher, even though they don't know how to read. So now, let's go to the Ritva. The Ritva says, the Ritva makes a diuk, which, you know, it's not muchach to say, as we said, not everyone holds this diuk. But the Ritva writes that Nirim Dvarav, quoting the Rambam, that afila am ha'aretz, Nirim Dvarav, it appears from the words of the Rambam, you could be medayik dafka am ha'aretz, are pasul, or rather are kosher, are acceptable. Aval sumim upsulin lo. A suma, a karov, a pasul, a gazanun, Masachet Bukuvya, anyone who's on the list of psulim, edus and psulim dayanim, so they are disqualified. Virai l'davar, how do we know that real psulim are pasul? From the ma'isa of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, the pasulei mishum ger, he was disqualified because he was a ger. Now, the Ritva says there is a chilik, because if the overriding reason is because we don't want people to confuse who are the real dayanim, who are the fakes. So he says, Nirashim hisminu viktula gimel lebezdin beferish. If you say explicitly that these are the three dayanim, Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, they're all kashula dayanis, they're called the karu acherim limuli ba'aman. You say, oh, could you two just stand in? So then, afil gerim vafil psulim. Since it's all about the impression and the perception, so then the Ritva says it might depend how you summon everyone to the bezdin. If you summon all five together, then there's confusion. So make sure the extra two are going to be kosher. But if you summon the first three, and then you say, okay, we need two more just to stand in, so then the Ritva says, okay, I could see in that case, maybe you could allow for psulim. But it's all about the perception. But let's just understand in the first scenario. Yeah. Yeah, so that was a chiddush, I think. It was a chiddush to try to understand the Trumas Hadeshin. The Pashup Shad is, the Ger is one type of a psul, and Einach Nami, all the other psulim would be disqualified as well.
And
you would say that Zeres Kosov isn't even necessary. The problem is we didn't learn in a Bezdin how a Ger works in a Bezdin in general. So Ger sometimes does work on Bati Dinim, others he does not. So Chalitza is one of the ones he may not serve on, because of the Pasuk, but once he's Pasuk from this, Mimela, other psulim certainly. Because a Karov can't be on any Bezdin. A Gazan can't be on any Bezdin. A Ger can be on some and can't be on others. So if he's Pasul for Chalitza, Kava Chomer, someone who can't be on any other Bezdin should not be qualified for this as well. So, but it wasn't, the truth is that I think that was a Chiddush, but Pashup Shad is once a Ger is Pasul, all the others are Pasul. So now the question becomes, In the world of the Ritva, where when you summon all five Dayanim as a unit, as a kat, as a group, so they have to all be kasher. With the Am Haaretz is acceptable, but they can't be a real psul, they can't be a real sum. So what's the difference then? How come we accept an Am Haaretz, but we don't accept a summa kara? What's the difference between the two of them? An Am Haaretz is not acceptable if a dayan, right? Let's say a dayan has to be a hedyo, they have to be able to read. So an Am Haaretz is not able to read. He's possible to be one of the three dayanim. So then how can he serve to be one of the dayanim as a number four, number five? He could work, but a karavim and summa can't. What's the difference between the psul of the Am Haaretz and the psul of the summa and karav? And therefore, they are kasher or pasul dayanim.
Therefore, they're kasher. I'm saying they're kasher as a four and five because in Islam they don't know how to read. And they're not taking those reading roles.
No, but it seems to the Ritva that group of five, when you invite them together as a unit, so then they have to all be kasher. So once the Am Haaretz is pasul from being one of three dayanim, so shouldn't the other be pasul as well? So you're saying that since it's all about reading. Maybe what you're saying is that the reading is something that's not essential, and therefore it doesn't affect who they are as individuals. It's not a psul gavra of some sort. I'm trying to figure out. It's not a psul gavra. They're wonderful people, upstanding people. They're baal midos. They keep Torah and mitzvahs. They just don't know how to read, and therefore they're not psul gavra, and therefore they wouldn't be disqualified. So that could certainly be approached. And let's work on that approach. Just let me carry that through a little bit. So I think what you're trying to get to, maybe you didn't mean all this, but I think it's leading in this direction. I saw a beautiful idea in the footnotes, the Ha'aros and the Ritva, the Masada Rav Kook, beautiful in general, but when you Yevamos, they're two fat volumes you haven't seen because they're fantastic. So I saw he had a whole shtickle on this, and he explained as follows. We have a concept in Halacha, Nimsa Echad Karav Apostol, right? If you have a Kat of Edom, and one of the Edom is a Karav or Apostle, then the entire Kat is... It's possible. Now that din is not only true by Edus, it's also true by Dayanim as well. Even though it's typically used by Edus in the Gemara, the Mishnah Lemelech and the Gura and Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Chalitza all make it clear. I'll just read the language of the Gura. The Gura writes, "Afilu Meya v'nimse Echad Karav Apostle Dibatla Kol HaEdus Huadin LeDayanim D'Hadayanim MeEdus Gamrinim." Right, the din of Dayanim being a cat is learned from Edus, so just like Edus, Nimsa Echad Karav Apostle, but Lakula, so too by Dayanim, we have the same exact din, and that's the similar understanding of the Mishnah Lemelech. Okay, so now if we get in the world of Edus just for a moment, and this is what the footnote, I think Rabbi Yaffe is the Machaber on the footnotes, I forgot to look it up. So I think the understanding is as follows. By Edus, there are two types of psulim. There's someone who's Apostle Edus, Gazlan, Karav, and then there's something, a type of psul that's not even called a psul. He's not even called an aid. So there's the footnote quotes from the Ravid, quoted in the Rishonim in Makos Davah, but there's also Rimagash and Balbastra a couple of places as well. A person in the psul of Nogeh B'davar. A person is, he himself is the Baal Davar, right? I can't testify about myself. I can't say I testify that I owe money, I don't owe money. I can't do that. I'm the Baal Davar, I'm not the aid. So let's say I were to testify about myself with two other Edom, two kosher Edom. So would you say, Nimtza Echad Karav Apostle, would you say, well, since I was part of the Edus, now the whole thing's thrown out, because I'm a Karav Latzma. Right? If my brother were to testify against me or for me with two other Edom, Nimtza Echad Karav, the whole thing's thrown out. So if I were to testify, what would you say? Similarly, you would say, Nimtza Echad Karav Apostle, the Batla Kula. But the Rimagash is a language, as is the Ravid, that I'm not called an aid even. Doesn't get off the ground. I'm not called an aid. I'm the Baal Davar. A psul could only be shaykh if you are even able to even speak of. Right? There's a, in a similar way, you have Rav Chaim was that one to ask the question about two different chazan. If one chazan, we know the criteria of a chazan has to be a person who has a zakan, has a beard, and he's a bal midos, he's a yerushalmim, he's a talmid chacham. So he had a question, he had a beautiful chazan, beautiful voice, but he didn't have the criteria. He wasn't older, wasn't married, wasn't bal midos. Another guy, an old man, who couldn't sing for his life, but he had all the midos. He had everything. He was the perfect guy. He was married, he had children, he had a beautiful beard, and he had the midos, he was a talmid chacham. So who should be? Who should be the chazan? So I would have thought, okay, do away with the nice davening and get the old man to just scratch it out. So the Rav Chaim says, no, but the old man's not even a chazan. He's not even in the discussion. He's not on the radar. You first have to be a chazan, and then you can, oh, of the chazanim, who's most fit? So the old man's not a chazan. A chazan would be a guy who could get up there and read the nusach. So to even speak about psul eidus, you have to have an eid first. I'm not an eid. I'm a baal davar. You can't call me an eid. So therefore, I'm not disqualifying eidus. So the idea is, what the footnote explains here, an am ha'aretz isn't even an eid. The language is, it's an eitz ba'alma. That's not the language of the Rishonim, I don't think. But the language of the footnote is, he's an eitz ba'alma. He's a statue. He's just standing in. We wanted to make it like a big event. So he stands in there, and then he's an eitz ba'alma. That's not a psul. So am ha'aretz is just a stand-in. But to get a guy who's, you know, who's able to read, a guy who's a summa, a guy who's a karov, a guy who's a pasul, he's an aid, but he's a pasul aid. So then he's not fit. Then he'll be disqualified. That's the difference, how it's explained in the footnote. I'm not sure if that's the direction you're going at. One's a psul gavra, one's not even a psul gavra, just it's not, he's not an aid. So that's one shot. The other shot, Shimshi had shared with me. He had left, but he had shared with me during his thought, he and Momo discussed during Seder. I think it's a good shot as well. Not as Lamdish, but still, I think it makes sense that, you know, there's certain people, I think it could even be similar to this. You know, the Gemara is talking about Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. So, you know, has a title of Rav, that's already starting off as something. And he was a chashuv person. So if you have a rabbi who's a ger as number four, number five, the perception might be maybe he's one of the dayanim. He's a rabbi, he's got a long beard, he's a talmid chacham. But you have an am haaretz, you pull, you know, a guy off the street. Everyone knows he's not qualified to be a dayan. It's clear he's a stand-in only. So for an am haaretz to be a stand-in only, so it's all about perception. We're not talking anymore about the lachic status of a psul eidus, a psul dayan. We're talking about perception. Perception, when I see, you know, some guy, you know, wearing shorts, you know, pink shorts, and I don't know, whatever he likes to wear, and flip-flops to stand in, I don't think he's a dayan. The guy's got the long hair, he's got a ponytail, whatever image you want to create. I don't think he's one of the... It's clear to me he's just there just to watch what's going on, to observe, to make it a whole scene. So an am haaretz, he can stand up there, there's no confusion. But the moment you get to a guy who has the qualities, actually, and he just happens to be a ger, happens to be a suma, happens to be a psul, a karov, then it gets confusing. That's the chiluk, about perception. Not because of psul eidus or not psul eidus, just about perception. I think it makes a lot of sense. Now, the two could be very connected and you know, correlated, but let's leave that aside. I think you could break them down as two different angles. And that would be the explanation of the ritva as to why am ha'aretz would be acceptable, but other psulim would be unacceptable. Now, just to you know, continue a little bit more about the difference between the three and the additional two, is the Beis Shmuel says that, you know, furthering the point to highlight that the other two are simply there to stand in, the Beis Shmuel says that the individuals could actually accept, take schar. Normally, a dayan can't get paid for his dayanus. So there's a discussion that he could paid for schar batala, right? A rabbi shouldn't be paid for what he teaches, but schar batala. The Gemara says that, you know, he could have been working in a hedge fund. Or maybe if the kids were younger, he could be paid to watch to make sure that the kids are safe. If like 5-year-olds, it's schar shimur. So a dayan can't be paid for his work. He has to judge. Hashem is a dayan. He judges for free. We have to judge for free. But it's so we can't pay unless it's schar batala. But Shmuel says these guys are not dayanim. You can pay them. They pay a couple bucks to the guys to stand in. That's allowed because they're not dayanim. So we see clearly that they are really don't have a din of a dayan. Furthermore, the Beis Shmuel says another cool we have, even though we don't accept a karov is pasul, for number four, number five, if the psul karov is only because of a chumra, not because of a dim psul, but whatever the chumra, I don't know all the chumras of krovim, whatever chumra of krovim might be, so that would actually be acceptable for numbers four and number five, even though for the first three he would not be acceptable. So one of the napkamina we could suggest is as follows. There is a machlokas between the poskim, amongst the poskim, and even the Rishonim actually. We spoke yesterday about kviyas makom, about saying let's go establish a place, or actually we should nelech, we should go, and they went. So do you have to include the other two, the extra two, as part of that kviyas makom? So it's brought down by the Chavos HaDeshin, brought down by the Mordechai, brought down the Shulchan Aruch. I should have found the exact Mar Makom. One second here. I don't see it here in Seder Chal, in Hilchos Charitza, maybe it's later on. But I think it's discussed in Shulchan Aruch. Either way, the Rishonim certainly do speak about this. So what would you say, whether or not you have to include them or not include them in terms of the Kviyas Makom? What would you say? How does this connect to what we've been discussing up until now? Any thoughts? Yeah, Sammy.
If it just gets like you feel that they don't have to be part of the smoke, but if they're like they have to touch them, they have to be like they're almost pulled down, and they have to be part of it.
Excellent. So now if you remember who said what, who would you think would say that you have to include the two as part of the Kviyas Makom? Excellent. Shmuz Hadeshin, right. So we'll get back to Shmuz Hadeshin in just a second. The Mechaber writes in Seder Chalitza Sif Vav, V'yikbu Makom L'Chalitza, Shiyomra Shlosha L'Shnayim Hanosavim, they speak to the two, Nelech L'Machar V'Neshe B'Makom Ploni K'dei L'Achal Cham. So that's the Inyan, that you should include them. And the Ramah writes that the practice was not to simply say it, but to actually go, Nogin Hoch L'Makom. Ramah adds, V'Nogim Shagam HaShnayim HaNosafim Holchin Im HaBezdin, the two also go. Avo Eina Ma'akev, it's not Ma'akev if they don't. Fine. So the problem is, as Sammy just pointed out very correctly, that you would have thought that Shmuz Hadeshin, who took the status, the quality of the Dayanim to be the highest level, Kasher, you would think that you should include the two in the process of Kviyas Makom. But Shmuz Hadeshin actually says, the Hani Shnayim lo tzrichen le mikveh duchtei v'sagi v'shlosha. So it goes against what I would have thought as well. So how would you suggest this machlokas now? Now, just it's good to know, I mention these points once in a while in terms of learning, systematic way to approach sugyas. Whenever you have a sugya, there's always a clash between two different worlds. So we're talking about the extra two, we're also talking about kviyas makom. So Sammy suggested, and I was leading him on to this, that his understanding of whether you should include the two or not include the two, it depends on the nature of what the two. Are they fillers, or are they part of the dayan? I'd prove that was wrong, because the Shmuz Hadeshin doesn't work out. So what would the other angle be to look at whether you have to include the two or not? Kviyas Makom. So now, if you remember back from yesterday's shir, remember what we discussed, how could you plug yesterday's shir back in today as to whether or not the two should be included or not included? So I think, remember we spoke yesterday, yeah? I think you say a little better than that. I think, yeah. Excellent. Perfect. So say, so let me explain now. How does it connect? Excellent. Perfect. Remember, we discussed, as mentioned at the beginning of this year, that whether Kriyas Makom is connected to this sugya of the five, the Pesumi Milsa. If it is, so then you should include the five, all five, in the establishing the Makom. The whole purpose of Kviyas Makom, according to many Rishonim who saw yesterday, was the Farse Milsa. So when you speak about it, you should speak to the two. That's making like a dialogue. There's a whole conversation with more people. Five people are discussing the Kviyas Makom. That's going to generate Pishim v'Nisan. That's why some say you should include the two also. But perhaps the Mordechai understands that Kfiyas Makom is being Koveya Makom. It's a real din. It's Kilo, you're bonus something. So you don't need the two other guys. Kind of what you were saying a little bit. The two other guys, you don't need them to establish the Makom. They're not serving to be Dayanim. And since it's not for the purpose of Pirsim Milsof, you could completely ignore their involvement. And that would perhaps another way to explain whether the two have to be part of Kfiyas Makom or not part of it. No, they have to go there for the actual... They have to be there for the Maisa Chalitza, but for the Kvias Makom, whether they have to go there just to set up shop. Remember we said you could set up shop the day beforehand. So just have the three set up shop. You don't need the other two guys. When it comes to the Maisa Chalitza, all five need to be there. But to be Kovei Makom, it's enough to just have those three, because the other two, their only role is to Farsim Milsa. There's no Pirsim on the Erev of the Chalitza. You know, because if you understood that the whole Kfiyas Makom was in order to create a whole kol in the first place, maybe going there was to have people talk about it, then the more people going, that actually creates more of a buzz. But if it's really just to establish Kfiyas Makom, you could go in the middle of the night, no one has to see, you know, quietly, but if it's to make a whole tumult, so then you would need all five as well. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow, we'll, Mr. Hashem, continue. The next sugya we're going to discuss is what the Yushalmi says when there's a clash between a minog and a halacha. The Gemara indicates a minog overrides a halacha. So we're going to go through that sugya in different applications. And then I think next week, if we're continuing, I don't know, share your story, then Eliyahu Navi, his role in Psak Halacha, whether we can listen to what he says or not. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.